Board of Veterinary Medicine, John A. Conrad, Appellant Counsel, Allison K. Tyson, Nursing Assistant Attorney General, Kara Sagan, Assistant Attorney General, Appellant Counsel.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is John Conrad for the appellant, and I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. This case arises out of the Virginia Administrative Process Act and Virginia Code Section 2.24027, which allows review for the substantiality of the evidence as well as compliance with statutory and constitutional rights. Under Virginia Code Section 54.13807, paragraph 5, the Vet Board is empowered by the General Assembly to take licensure action if the applicant is guilty of unprofessional conduct as determined by the regulations of the Board. The regulations in question in this case are 18 VAC 150-20-140 and paragraphs 6, 7, and 8. The Court of Appeals decision in this case relies on Virginia Code Section 1-227, which is the Title I statute that defines plural and singular terms in the code to be used interchangeably. However, the decision of the Court of Appeals ignores and violates Virginia Code Section 1-202, which states that the definitions and rules set forth in Title I shall be used in the construction of the code and acts of the General Assembly, not the Vet Board regulations.
Counsel, a little further on in that same title, same chapter of the title, says a word used in the singular includes the plural, and a word used in the plural includes the singular. So if we're going to use the statutory rules of construction in this administrative matter, would we not use all of it? That's what? Code Section 1227.
Are you quoting 227?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in using all of them, and specifically 202, it makes it clear that two things have to happen. It has to be the construction of the code or the acts of the General Assembly, and unless there's an exception where the construction would be inconsistent with the intent of the General Assembly.
And but you would acknowledge that if you are asking us to apply Title 1-202, and if we do so, it would be perfectly appropriate for us to also apply 1227 in aid of our decision.
Yes, sir. And I'm also asking you to use 1200, which says that the common law, the English common law, to the extent it's not.
Oh, with this court, you probably don't need to worry about that.
Right. And that's important in this case because I think what's happened here is that originally the intent of the Vet Board was to deal broadly, in broad terms, with the definition of unprofessional conduct. And if you look at the history, for example, we attached a part of a history to our petition for appeal. If you look at the history of this regulation, it includes broadly termed collective activities and not singular acts. And the reason for that is a common law reason, and that is that this court has said many times that statutes do not define malpractice or violations of standard care. I think what's happened in this case is that the Vet Board has confused the distinction between malpractice and violations of standard of care and what's the definition that's included in this regulation, which is the inability to practice veterinary medicine. It's comparable to the legal code of professional responsibility. This court has taken the same position there that should apply here, and that is there's a big difference between determining a doctor of veterinary medicine's ability to practice veterinary medicine with reasonable care or safety, and determining whether or not in a singular act they're guilty of negligence or violation of a standard of care. That's been confused in this case. That's the reason why, I think, knowingly, when this regulation was originally adopted, it was adopted in broad collective terms, and they used the term inability to practice veterinary medicine with reasonable care or safety. And they used plural terms of practicing veterinary medicine in a way that endangers patients, plural, or performing surgery in a way that endangers animals, plural. The reason is they didn't want to get into singular acts of violations of standard of care. And so, meaning no disrespect to the Court of Appeals, I think their decision is conceptually flawed, because they say that it is clearly the intent of this statute, the enabling statute, which is 54.138075, and the regulation, to include malpractice. And that is diametrically opposed to the decisions of this court in legal and other acts of malpractice. But that's exactly what is not included.
Well, Judge Frank and the panel knows the difference between tort liability for malpractice and unprofessional conduct purposes of the regulation of a regulated physician, in this case a veterinarian. So tell me again, what is it about common law, English common law, that has anything to do with the state regulation of vets?
It has nothing to do with it, and that's my argument in appealing the Court of Appeals decision.
So you think the Court of Appeals of Virginia incorporated English common law into a statutory regimen for the regulation of veterinarians?
I think they did so by saying, on page 16 of my brief, I say that they say that the plain intent of this statute, 54.1, that I've cited, and the regulations is to include acts of malpractice.
Well, I would assume that accepted standards of practice would exclude malpractice, which is mal being bad practice. I mean, what is it about the word choice here that upsets you so much? I'm not even understanding it, frankly.
Well, if you look at the regulation, the regulation says, paragraph 7 and 8, there are three components to it. They say that practicing veterinary medicine in a manner to endanger the health and welfare of his patients or the public, or in 8 it says performing surgery on animals not in accordance with accepted standards of practice, or back again in 7, or being unable to practice veterinary medicine with reasonable skill and safety. None of those include a violation of malpractice.
Well, mal is Latin for bad, right? Malum in se, bad, intrinsically. So malpractice is bad practice. And the standard here is not accepted standards of practice. Well, I would assume they meant not bad, because bad is not an accepted standard of practice.
Well, I would argue that malpractice involves, as in legal malpractice or any professional malpractice, it involves an act of negligence or an action that is in violation of the standard of care of the profession.
How is the accepted standard of practice different from the standard of care? That's the argument you have to get us to accept in order to prevail. Where is the substantive distinction between accepted standard of practice and standard of care?
Well, I think the accepted standard of practice with reasonable skill or safety.
Two different subsections, each of which needs to be read independently.
Right.
Okay. So how does accepted standard of practice differ substantively from standard of
practice? Well, when you use the term practice, you're using it in the context of the first clause of that paragraph 7, which is practicing veterinary medicine.
No. I'm looking solely at paragraph 8. Each paragraph has to be read independently.
Okay. Well, if you're looking at 8, it says performing surgery on animals, plural, not in accordance with accepted standards of practice.
Now, I understand your plural versus singular argument. Independent of your plural versus singular argument, you have made the argument that malpractice is not covered by paragraph 8. And that's the only issue that I'm asking a question on right now. My question is simple. What is the substantive distinction between standard of care and, quote, accepted standard of practice, end quote?
Well, I think they're the same, but for the fact in this case, you're talking about acceptable standards for numerous surgeries on numerous animals.
Okay, I understand that you have that argument. And it may be an argument that prevails, the singular versus the plural, the fact that there was only one instance here. But, okay, you've actually answered my question through this dialogue.
So you can
go ahead to the rest of your argument.
Well, I think the other decisions of the court, this court, say that it's not the intent to have malpractice accepted standards of practice to be the same as regulatory violations under the professional code. And although the same term is used, I acknowledge that in response to your question. I still don't think that under the common law definition of malpractice, it was ever intended by the vet board or by this court for there to be overlap in paragraph 8A.
Okay, thank you.
For time for rebuttal, you have 3 minutes and 13 seconds left.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question before we move on?
Absolutely.
You can see that 8 addresses professional malpractice, but just not a single act of professional malpractice?
I don't concede that because I don't believe that is the jurisprudence in Virginia. I concede that use is the same terminology as malpractice. But if you read the cases of this court, and I don't think when the vet board originally adopted these regulations, that it was intended for them to include acts of malpractice, which are singular acts of malpractice. I acknowledge in response to the question that it uses the same term, but I don't think it's the same doctrine, because in this case it's stated in the plural, and also I don't think the jurisprudence of Virginia substantiates the fact that there was any intent or should be any intent with malpractice having an overlap with Section 8 of this regulation. And for that reason, no, I would not concede that.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
May it please the Court. My name is Karis Mitchell from the Office of the Attorney General, and I'm here today representing the Board of Veterinary Medicine. The ultimate issue in this case is whether the Court of Appeals was proper in granting deference to the Board's interpretation of its regulations to allow it to discipline a practitioner for performing an incomplete surgery. And this Court should affirm the Court of Appeals for two reasons. First, because the Board's interpretation of its regulation is reasonable and therefore should be afforded deference. And second, because the issue of substantial evidence, as well as the constitutional issues presented in the assignment of error, have not been preserved and thus are not properly before this Court. First, the Board's interpretation of its regulation is reasonable and thus should be afforded deference. As was just discussed, the regulation at issue discusses the unprofessional conduct in the practice of veterinary medicine. That regulation states, as has been stated, practicing veterinary medicine in such a manner as to endanger the health and welfare of the veterinarian's patients, and performing surgery on animals not within accepted standards of veterinary practice. The Court of Appeals properly held that the Board received deference for interpreting these regulations to include damage to one animal. That deference stems from Virginia Code Section 2.2-4027, which instructs reviewing courts to take due account of the experience and specialized competence of the agency that has enacted the regulation. The rules of statutory construction apply to the interpretation of regulations adopted by the administrative agency pursuant to statutory authority granted to it by the legislature. Construction begins with the plain meaning of the words used in a regulation. Here, the plain meaning of the words animals and patients include all of and each of the patients that a veterinarian has. That is the plain meaning of the words utilized in the regulation, and therefore the board is correct. Now, Leonard has presented an alternate view of the plain meaning of these words. However, that meaning and that interpretation leads to absurdity, and therefore it is impermissible, and the Court of Appeals properly determined that that interpretation is inconceivable. Saying that the Board of Veterinary Medicine does not have the ability to professionally discipline a practitioner for injuring one animal is absurd and contrary to the purpose of the board, and quite frankly is illogical. Much has been said today about the intent of the Board of Veterinary Medicine in passing this regulation and enacting this regulation, but that interpretation is absurd when viewed in the intent of the General Assembly in enacting the board and having the board created. The board was created through an exercise of the Commonwealth's police powers. Thus, the purpose of the board is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public and of the animals of the public, because it's the Board of Veterinary Medicine. It is absurd to conceive that the board would disregard the safety of one animal and tell every veterinarian in the Commonwealth of Virginia that it could have one free animal. That means each veterinarian in the Commonwealth, licensed by the Commonwealth of Virginia, would have one free dog, or one free cat, or even one free horse.
Well, it wouldn't be free, would it? Because certainly someone could bring a civil action against them for what they did wrong.
Yes, they absolutely could. However, it would be free with no threat to professional discipline. So that veterinarian would have no strike, as it were, it's the wrong word, but no damage on their license. No one would be ready to see that the veterinarian did something wrong professionally.
They made a mistake.
In essence. Well, no, because it's not a mistake. I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying. It's not a mistake because it's an error. And the Board of Veterinary Medicine needs to be able to professionally discipline that injury.
It's unfortunate that the word malpractice was used by the Court of Appeals. Would you agree? Just unfortunate.
It is an unfortunate statement.
It's used once.
Yes.
In the entire opinion.
Yes, it's used
once. You know, when a lawyer is in difficulty, another professional, you can have a suit for malpractice for an individual event. No question about that. You miss a statute of limitation one time, and you may very well be sued. As Justice Goodwin, I think, was alluding to, you can be sued here as well. But if you're talking about a regulatory thing, which is discipline, at the bar, generally we're looking at a course of conduct that's larger than one incident. That's why it's a very unfortunate juxtaposition of regulatory, professional regulations, civil liability, malpractice. I see the word malpractice in there, but frankly, I read the entire opinion and I don't know why they used it. It wasn't
Neither
a case
we.
Of malpractice. It was a case of regulation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The use of the single word malpractice had no significance and no impact in the Court of Appeals determination. That decision is solely based on administrative process analysis. The Court of Appeals ruled that animals and patients include animal and patient. That was it. That is all the Court of Appeals ruled upon, and thus the use of the term malpractice had no significance. There was no malpractice analysis. The board never made a finding of malpractice. The Court of Appeals never made a finding of malpractice. It was only an administrative process analysis. And thus the Court of Appeals should not be reversed for that, and it definitely does not allow Leonard to raise new claims before this court.
Well, the manner in which they used it said including malpractice, which means that even in their view, malpractice would be a subset of that which the regulations cover, which means the regulations cover things other than malpractice.
Yes. Right. Yes. Now, Leonard has hung on to this one-time use of the word malpractice in an effort to raise newly new issues before this court. However, the ends of justice exception has not been met here to allow her to raise these constitutional claims. This is a rarely used exception. She has not demonstrated that there is error as alleged, and she also has not demonstrated that there is a grave injustice if this exception does not apply. Further, she also has alleged the issue of substantial evidence, which is also new before this court. The question of substantial evidence has never been presented to the courts throughout this case. She has used the phrase substantial evidence, as is evident in the record, but she has always alleged that the board's interpretation of its regulation is improper. Therefore, the question of whether there is evidence to support the board's findings of fact is not properly before this court. And, Your Honors, that's pretty much all I needed to say today, so unless there's other questions, do I see a question? The board requests that this court affirm the Court of Appeals and reinstate its order.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Conrad, you have 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
The earlier drafts, the earlier enactments by the board, again, the board adopts these regulations after a public process. They publish the regulations, they're aired for public comment, and they adopt them, not the General Assembly, and they're not part of the Code of Virginia. The original version of this referred to practicing veterinary medicine in such a manner as to endanger health and welfare of his patients or public, or not being able to practice veterinary medicine with reasonable care of safety, and it included the language, by reason of illness, drunkenness, excessive use of drugs, narcotics, chemicals, or any other type of material, or as a result of any mental or physical condition. And the earlier version of paragraph 8 included performing surgery on small animals in unlicensed facilities. I cite you that just as an example of the broad terms in which these regulations have a history of having been used. And the history of the jurisprudence of Virginia would indicate that the common law definition of malpractice or professional negligence would arise as a quasi-contractual cause of action, separate and apart from these regulations. And that's why my argument is that there is no overlap or intended overlap between paragraph 8 and the definition of professional malpractice. If this is an absurd result, my response to that is it's a function of the board having promulgated and adopting these regulations. They could fix it themselves. I don't think they have because of the dichotomy between common law, professional negligence, and professional regulations here. And that's why I don't think. What we have here, we raised the constitutional issue directly in response to the Court of Appeals use of the term malpractice, and there is a grave injustice here. What you're seeing in this case is the tip of an administrative law iceberg. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of vets, and I assume other health care professionals under the Department of Professional Regulation that are defending themselves. I can tell you as a fact of the matter, there are dozens and dozens of vets that are defending themselves against professional malpractice prosecutions by this board, and it simply isn't appropriate under Virginia jurisprudence and the dichotomy between professional regulation and professional negligence.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call the next case.